Amen. Well, I invite you to join me in Scripture if you have your Bible with you. We're going to be looking together today at 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. We're in the fourth week of our series called One Another. And in essence, every single one of these messages is helping us to figure out how to move our love into action. So far, we've considered love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, and today, comfort one another. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 7, as I said, and if you would, join me now as I begin reading in verse 3. Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Please pray with me. Lord God, we are so thankful to be gathered together in this space today. We're so thankful for your invitation at all times to come into your presence. And we're thankful that we have this community of faith around us within which to do so. We give thanks today for our brothers and sisters in Christ who form our family of faith right here at Fletcher Hills. And each week as we turn our attention toward one of these one another texts, we realize that we have a family within which to practice each of these ideals. This morning, as we consider together comfort, that you are the source of comfort in each of our lives, and yet that as you pour that comfort into us, it can be shared with others. We ask that you give us eyes to see just what you want us to see in this text. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, life is filled with trouble. And no one, not even Christians, can escape the trouble of this life. Anyone who tries to sell you a health and wealth picture of prosperity Christianity hasn't spent a lot of time reading their Bibles. Consider, for instance, the Apostle Paul. He's the author of our text today. And he gives us a description of his Christian life in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 28. Just for a moment, listen to what he says there. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this, says Paul. I am more. I have worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. What a list. We don't typically advertise the Christian life in this way, do we? Check out what Paul promises for you if you're a believer. And of course, Paul's not promising this is the outcome for all of us as believers, but he's highlighting the difficulties he faced in this life, some of which had to do directly with his faith, some of which just had to do with things that he faced. But he's saying, these are the things that fill my life. These troubles are the things I experience on a regular basis. And we have our own lists as well, don't we? The death of a loved one, the end of a relationship, the inability to have children, the desire for a spouse, the loss of a much-needed job, maybe being trapped in a horrible job, the loss of a home, the diagnosis of a disease, and the lists go on and on. Life is filled with trouble, but our God provides hope. Our hope in the midst of trouble comes in the form of the comfort that is given to us by God. Listen again to verse 4. God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Did you know that the Apostle Paul talks more about comfort than any other biblical writer? He also talks more about suffering than any other biblical writer. And maybe it's because of all of the suffering that he is informed and able to teach us about comfort. There's no surprise then, given that chapter 11 list, Paul was no stranger to the troubles of this world. The word that he uses for trouble is thlipsis in Greek. And it means trouble, affliction, distress, pain. It literally refers to pressure, and we've all felt that. When the problems descend into our lives, no matter what sort they are, we begin to feel this pressure. We begin to feel suffocated and overpowered by the things in our world. Paul's critics sought to invalidate both his faith and his ministry because of his suffering. As he went about telling people about Christ, about this loving God who could bring comfort, they said, look at his life. Look at what he's going through. Is he really loved by God? Is he really called by God to do these things? And yet Paul triumphantly declares that his trouble and his suffering serve to actually validate his call and his ministry. All of this comes through the comfort of God, which Paul received in the midst of his suffering, maybe because of his suffering. The word Paul uses for comfort is paraklesis in Greek. It means comfort and deliverance, and it actually has the same root as the word for Holy Spirit, paraclete. The paraclete is the one who comes alongside, the one who resides within us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is inextricably linked to the comfort of God. God's presence in us overflows in the midst of our troubles as he offers us the comfort that only he can offer. That's a powerful message of hope. And yet, even if it ended there, it would be hope, but it doesn't. There's a purpose for our struggles and the purpose for the comfort that God brings. That's what the so that means in verse 4. It describes a purpose for God's comfort that moves beyond the one who is comforted. It's what one commentator has called spiritual algebra. Our suffering plus God's comfort equals comfort for others. So we don't think burden. We think opportunity. We think privilege. Because what we're being taught here by the Apostle Paul is that when we experience trouble, the comfort that God pours into our life is meant to be more than enough. It's not meant to be just enough for us to get through what we're going through so we can then move on and survive until the next struggle comes. Instead, he gives us more than enough so that we can use what we've received and pass it on to others. In a sense, the trouble we've faced and the comfort we've received become a commissioning from God to our own ministry, to our own call, to minister to our own community. And when we do this well, we realize that we are united as a body through our troubles and through the comfort that we receive from our God. That's the connection here to the One Another series that we're talking about, is this beautiful dynamic that unfolds when we see the purpose for the comfort we've received and we willingly allow it to flow into the lives of the others. The comfort of God is guaranteed, but we're not always faithful to pass that comfort on to others. And so I want to leave us this morning with four suggestions to help us pass God's comfort on to others. Four suggestions. I encourage you to write these down. The first is to be aware. To be aware. And when I say be aware, I mean be aware of the people around you, people within the community of faith, and also the people that we rub shoulders with every day in the workplace or when we're out and about running our errands. Have your eyes open and be aware of the people in your life. Be there you are people, ones who take note of the person in front of you. It's so easy not to. So easy to brush past the people of our lives all the time in our busyness and our stress, in everything else that we're contending with, but we can be people who are aware. People without trouble are exceptions in this world, and so the fact of the matter is, many of the people that you bump into each day, from your closest loved ones to people who are out and about in the world, they are people in the midst of strain and struggle, people who would thrive under the comfort that you can offer. And so in each new day, pray for discernment from God that you might see and you might know the one who could benefit from the comfort you can offer. So be aware. Number two, listen. You can only know and understand someone's pain when you listen. This call that we might comfort other people is not a call to practice our preaching. We are a wordy people. I am number one among wordy people. I have to really laugh right there from someone close to me. I really have to work not to talk too much. When I encounter someone who's in pain, my brain starts saying, how do I help? How do I help? How do I help? And I want to offer things that have been helpful. I'm not trying to lecture. I'm not trying to preach. But unfortunately, I'm a preacher. And so I have to be really careful of that. But all of us have been called to listen. The most effective care that we can offer to most people is to simply listen, to simply be next to them, to be in their world, because when we choose to do that, it allows the chance for them to be comforted from us. Be aware, listen. Number three, stick around, stay around. Commit to journey with someone the whole way, making the comfort that you offer match the depth of grief that they are experiencing. We're masters at just kind of the one shot. You know, someone shares that something's going on and we say, oh goodness, I will pray for you. And that's a good thing. But then we forget about it after that. We never return to it again. We don't check in again on that person to find how they're dealing with it, because grief and loss and pain and suffering, they're not immediate things. There's usually a really sharp aspect to it at the very beginning, but then the reverberations of that pain and that grief last for a long time. Be a person who stays around, who sticks around, comforting for the long haul the people in your life who are suffering. Finally, number four, bring hope. Bring hope. And hope is for both now and in eternity. Hope sometimes comes from just walking alongside someone in encouragement. Hope sometimes can be distributed when we go back to the scriptures and we see all of the reasons that we have for hope, even in the midst of struggles. Hope also has that eternal dimension, where we know that there will come a day when these struggles will cease entirely. But be a person who brings hope. We start by being aware with our eyes open. We commit ourselves to listening and being a presence with people who are in struggle. We stick around for the long haul. And in the midst of it all, we bring hope. The only kind of hope that we can bring is those who trust in a living God who promises us a hope now and hope forevermore. These are beautiful opportunities for all of us. This world is a world in need of comfort. And in a simple and yet incredibly profound way, we're being told today by the Apostle Paul that we can be that source of comfort to a hurting world. And we do it because of the beautiful hope and comfort that our God has already poured into us. May we be dispensers of that hope to the world. Please pray with me. Lord God, there's nothing is simplistic about the strains and the struggles that we face in this world. They happen on a personal level for each of us, both past and present. They happen on a community level in the midst of grief and loss, as we've experienced as a community only recently. They happen on a worldwide scale as we wonder where in the world this earth is headed, this society is headed. And yet what a beautiful picture here in Scripture to see the Apostle Paul, who had endured so much, to come out the other side so filled with hope and so willing wonderfully to share that hope and that comfort with everybody around him. Inspire us in this. Inspire us in the midst of our own suffering to feel your comfort as you come alongside us through your Holy Spirit. But inspire us to see that kind of suffering and the comfort that comes as a commissioning from you, that we might walk alongside one another for the long haul, offering the beautiful comfort that you have first brought to each of us. I pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.